Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. And I titled the message, Don't Numb the Pain. Now let's face it, life can be brutally painful at times. So much so that at times death seems like a better option. Paul the Apostle, he expressed this sentiment when he said to the Corinthians, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." And I think that all of us, to some degree or at some point in our lives, we can understand what it's like to hit some real lows, some real rock bottoms. And perhaps some of you, you're carrying some great hurt with you. Something has happened to you in the past, and it's been very, very hard for you to move on. You're just barely making it. But you're still carrying that hurt. And you're wondering how to handle the hurt. How am I going to make it through this? You know, I know what it's like to hit some real lows where, you know, you just wish it was over. But then there's that point, part of you that, you know, you just keep going on. You can't just check out, you know. And there's been times where we've reached out to others and it made you feel worse. How many of you can say amen to that? You know, you're down and out, you're hurting, and you've reached out, and you feel like they kicked you when you were down, or they didn't understand your pain, or they were wrapped up in their own lives so much so that they just weren't there for you, and you felt like you had nobody there. You know, sometimes we hurt because of things that have happened to us, or even things that we've brought upon ourselves, but then other times we carry pain because of the way we perceive things. You ever meet someone that, you know, after talking to them, you just know that they're not looking at life right, and their reality is different than reality, and you feel so bad for them, and you really can't help them. You try to talk to them and say, you know what, I just don't see it that way, but they know that's the way it is, and they just can't see outside of their perception, and so they're emotionally hurting and mentally filled with anguish, but a lot of it's just the way that they perceive things. Now, regardless of what it is, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, you know, sometimes physical pain, prolonged physical pain, can start to affect us emotionally, you know, and you start getting depressed, and it's just tough, and you feel isolated, and you feel like you have nobody there. And regardless of what it is, whether it's emotional pain, physical pain, brought on by our own perception or otherwise, one thing still remains, and that's the pain. And there are pains that we must address, and then there are pains that we must confess. And let me clarify that. You know, there are pains that we must address. Sometimes there's physical pains. You go to the doctor. I'm not saying don't take your medication. Don't misunderstand. Some of those pains, physical pains, you have to address them. But then there are some that it's out of your control. And you know that God's allowing you to go through it. And you can't see the end. You don't understand. And yet you're carrying this pain. And those are the kinds of pains that we're going to be talking about primarily and focusing on. But those are the things that we have to confess. It's like, God, help me. God, I confess I need you. I need your strength. I need your help. I feel like I'm all alone and I'm hurting inside and there's no one there. God, help. You know, the sad thing is that sometimes we try to find things to numb that pain. And one of the most natural things that we do is we want to escape it. And those kinds of pains that God allows us to go through, I know that those types of things He allows us to go through because those are the things that develop us and shape in us. He uses even sometimes pain experiences, painful experiences, to develop our spiritual maturity. And we have to be open and be reminded of that. That the very thing that's hurting you right now, God could be using that to develop you in such a way and develop some real strength of character. You know, sometimes some of us, our makeup, the way we are, is we're loving, we're kind, we're so much to a hurt. And so God will allow us to get hurt a few times so that we don't get so rough that we're not willing to love and help people, but we start to mature in those areas where we're just easily taken advantage of. I mean, the list can go on, but God does use hurt and pain to develop us. And one of the other things, as we're going to get through this, we'll see, is that God really desires to use us to reflect Him more and more. And sometimes the hurts of life cause us to really consider what matters in life. What really matters. And by, you know, the sorrow, we start thinking about what really matters in life, and that has a refining effect on us, doesn't it? We start to think, you know what? This has got to go. This relationship's got to go. That has got to go. Because, you know, this is just bringing me down. It's not right. It negatively affects my relationship with You, Lord. And this is just not fitting. Sometimes it's not even bad things. Sometimes it's just things that aren't fitting for Your progress. And we're involved in these things, and then God, He'll allow us to suffer and to get hurt because He wants to grab our attention. And then through that, we start to realize and rethink things and say, you know what? There's nothing wrong with this, but in the direction that God wants to lead me in, I could sense this has got to stop. So pain is not always a negative thing. That internal hurt is not negative. And many of godly people have carried hurts with them. You know, there's a quote that says that God cannot use a man mightily until He wounds him deeply. And I know some of us have been wounded deeply. God's allowed us to go through it. But aren't you a better person as a result? A much better person. So maybe you're going through it right now, and it's hard for you to see the good that's going to come out of it. But I want to encourage you, good is going to come out of it as you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, there's two basic things we can do when it comes to the pain that God allows in our lives. As I said earlier, it's there to mold us and shape us. But one things we can do is, and this is the most natural thing, I'm sure you already know what it is, but in case you don't, we try to escape it. Isn't that how we are? We want to escape it. You know, for some of us, the escape is, no one knows, but late at night, you've got your little stash of alcohol, and you're drinking to kind of numb the pain, but it's really not helping you. Or maybe you're abusing pain medication, and it's not going to help you long term. Actually, it's just going to make things worse. Or maybe there's some kind of pleasure, immoral pleasure that you keep, the temptation comes and you find comfort in it, but then after you feel horrible. All those different types of scenarios. And God wants to get us past those things so that we, even with the pain, we can be a reflection of His glory. And we're going to see how Jesus, He embraced the pain that God allowed Him to go through. And Jesus, He suffered so much. But you know why He did it? Not because He needed to develop, but He did it because He loves us. He did it to save us. He, as we're going to see, He could have numbed the pain, but instead He embraced it. And that's what we need to do sometimes. That's what we need to do all the times with those pains that are outside of our control. We need to embrace it, because by embracing it, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the close, by embracing it is when we really can grow spiritually. We're going to see how Jesus embraced the pain, Paul, He embraced the pain that God allowed him to go through. and how you and I, we can embrace the pain that God allows us to go through. Now, Jesus, he embraced the pain, and he did this for us. And I draw your attention to the 16th verse of chapter 15. And we're going to see how he dealt with mental and emotional pain. He dealt with physical pain. He dealt with social pain and even spiritual pain. And so, just to give you a little bit of a backdrop, we've been studying through the Gospel of Mark. And we are at a point where Jesus, he had been arrested and he was betrayed by one of the guys, one of his disciples, Judas. We all understand that. So imagine the pain from that. And then Peter, one of the guys of the inner circle, which was always Peter, James, and John, Peter denies him. And not only does he deny him, Jesus, after the rooster crowed, and Jesus, he was arrested and he was treated horrible. And after Peter had denied him, Jesus locked eyes with Peter. Jesus was fully aware. Imagine your best friend. Maybe some of this has happened to you. You've had some people betray you. Or when you're just hanging out with somebody and it's just you and them, they treat you great. And then you go and you're with some other friends and then they kind of, you know, in a sense, not that they're denying you, but they treat you poorly. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? I have too. It really stinks. Yeah. And, you know, people have a way of being cruel and hurting each other. And we're going to see how cruel people were to Jesus. But anyway, so Jesus, he was arrested. He had a trial before the religious leaders. That was a mock trial. And then the religious leaders brought Jesus to Pilate. And at this point, they were jumping in. Pilate had already given the command for Jesus to be condemned to death. And so we pick up where the soldiers, they led Jesus away into the hall, verse 16, called Praetorium, which is the judgment hall. And they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and began to salute him. And they were saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they struck him on the head with a reed, and then they spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. It was all just mockery. And verse 20 tells us, "And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him." And that had to be painful too. We don't know how much time this was, but he had already, you know, been beaten up, and who knows all the physical pain he went through. But here they're mocking him, and here the mental and emotional anguish, I would imagine, that he had to deal with. He was, even though he is God, Jesus is God in the flesh, he still was human. He was 100% man. And here he created man, and he was giving his life for man. And the very ones that he came to redeem are just mocking him. You know, it now as an adult, I feel very different than I did when I was a kid. But I remember as a kid, I was a little rebel as a kid. And you know, sometimes you make fun of your parents. I mock my parents, you know. And looking back now, being a parent, I have four children, two adult children and two younger kids. And I know some of you are thinking, "Wow, that's hard to believe because you look so young." But you know, to think of my kids making fun of me, that would hurt, you know. And then to think I've done that to my parents. And even as an adult, sometimes you get together with other family members and maybe some cousins or whatever, make fun of your parent. And you're like, you just don't like that. You don't like to hear it. Now imagine Jesus. I mean, we understand to some degree. Imagine Jesus, he's the creator of all things. And his own creation is just mocking him. And it's still happening today, sadly. But they mocked him. So in his humanity, he experienced mental and emotional pain, no doubt. At one point, he said, in a chapter before this, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. I feel like I'm dying inside. And he knows what it's like to feel pain. And maybe you're in a situation where you just feel like you're dying inside. And the beauty is that Jesus, he can identify with you. He's been there. He's been there. Now there's the physical pain. In verse 21 it says, and when they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross. In verse 22, and they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, could you imagine? In addition to all the mockery, the physical pain he went through. How many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? Now, I think, this is just my personal opinion. If you don't like my opinion, that's fine. But I think it's good to see things like that. Because, and I don't believe that that's even a full disclosure of what Jesus went through. I don't think it's even close. I think it's good to see what Jesus went through for us. And, you know, that was graphic, huh? That was graphic. So imagine all the physical pain that Jesus went through. Now here he had an opportunity to escape it for a little bit, to numb the pain, if you would, but he didn't. Verse 23, again, it tells us they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. You know, this was a narcotic that they would give those who were being crucified, and it was a way to numb the pain. But Jesus, he took on all the pain, and he suffered everything for us. He didn't take the easy route. He didn't try to run. This is what God had for Jesus to do. Remember, Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way for man to be redeemed. Jesus, innocent, perfect, spotless, sinless, Lamb of God, had to be slain for our sins. Because none of us, although we belong there and he took our place, none of us could atone for our own sins. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Jesus, being the only innocent man, he took our place. That was something that God, it was God's will. And Jesus embraced it. And that encourages me. In those times when I'm hurting, when I want to take the easy route, don't think just because I'm a pastor that I don't get tempted. Don't think that just because I'm a pastor, you know, my feet don't touch the ground. Now, I know you don't think that. But we all have our struggles, don't we? And it's so easy. It's so easy to be tempted and to do evil. I mean, there's nothing stopping us from going out and drinking or going out and getting into some trouble or abusing drugs, prescription drugs. There's nothing stopping me. But in those times when those temptations come, I realize what I really need, what we really need is Jesus. Jesus is our strength. You know, I lived years ago, thank God it's been many, many years, but I lived years ago on crutches, if you would, looking and taking different things to try to fill the void or to satisfy the, try to kind of numb the hurt and the pain. So I realize, and I know most of us in this room, we realize that Jesus is the only answer. But there are some of you that maybe you're still there. And you know what it's like to use a crutch and then after you feel horrible. You're like, this is getting me nowhere. And you're seeking God. You want deliverance. You realize that, you know, you're going to be carrying this. It's going to be something you're going to be dealing with for years to come. And it's time to embrace it and to stop relying on the things of this world to try to numb it. And Jesus, he didn't take the narcotic. He didn't take the opportunity to numb the pain. On the contrary, he embraced it. And then listen how sad it says that in verse 24, when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And so he experienced mental, emotional pain. He experienced a lot of physical pain, but he also experienced the social pain. Verse 26, it says, and the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. And with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. And so the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And in verse 29, it tells us that the people that were around, they passed by and they were just saying a bunch of evil things, just blaspheming, speaking evil of him. We don't know fully all of the things that they were saying as they were walking by, but we do know that some of them were wagging their heads and saying, aha! I mean, that's kind of comical to me. I'm so detached, but I mean, why would you say aha? You know, I don't get that. But they were just blaspheming and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Think about that. You're suffering, you're hanging there. Jesus all beaten, and then people walking by just saying cruel things after all those cruel things you already experienced. And people just sitting there and saying, look, you say you're going to build a temple, you destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. What a joke. Basically, that's what they're doing. What a joke. Yeah, right. And look at you now. Save yourself. And that is the cry of the natural man. Save yourself. Save yourself. Don't do it God's way. Save yourself. And I'll tell you, all the times that I try to save myself, generally, when I don't rely upon the Lord, I end up in a mess. That's why the scriptures tell us, don't trust in your own heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Now, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, saying, he saves others, himself he cannot save. And thank God, I thank God that he didn't save himself so that we could be saved through faith in what Jesus did. Imagine if Jesus didn't go to the cross, we would all go to hell. By nature, we all go into hell, and it's only faith in Christ that saves a man. In verse 32, it says, let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And then even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Even the two guys that were next to him, were for a while there, both of them were just saying a bunch of junk right to him while they were dying. And we know that the scripture says one of them ended up making a commitment and repented. And then there's the spiritual pain. Look at verse 33. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, this was a quote of Psalm 22. If you read Psalm 22, that psalm was written about 1,000 years prior to this event, before crucifixion was even an invention of capital punishment. And if you read Psalm 22, you'll see how it was a messianic psalm predicting what would be happening to the Christ. And so anyone that was there that knew the psalm and heard him quoting that psalm would start to think through the psalm in their mind and what they would be thinking through, what the psalmist wrote, they would be witnessing right before their very eyes. And that was to open the eyes of some people. But nevertheless, there are some scholars that say that in these moments, because of all the sin, all the wrath of God was poured out on His Son, that in these moments, it was as if Jesus felt that the Father wasn't there. Now, that's kind of big for me to wrap my mind around. But I do know this, aren't there times where you feel like, God, where are you? God, where are you? And you cry out to God and nothing. It's like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. One thing we know for sure, that the Lord is always there. Even in our darkest moments, the Lord is always there with us. Sometimes we think that He's not there, and really, He's the one who's been carrying us all along. And then we look back and we think, God, You were there. It was just the way I was thinking. I was just in such an emotional rock bottom low that it was hard for me to realize that You were there. And then to finish the verses that we're going to be covering today, it says, some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, look, He is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. Now that was something different than what they had offered him before. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he had cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. So Jesus, in closing, He suffered in all the ways that we do, and He's able to identify with our pain and suffering. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The scripture also tells us that therefore He is able to aid us who are being tempted. You know, and so often we try to numb the pain, but Jesus didn't do that. And I look at Jesus as our model. You know, Jesus, He had opportunity to numb the pain, but He refused to numb the pain, and He embraced it, leaving us this example. And so often we turn to crutches when we're hurting, and it just makes things worse in the end. And so trying to numb the crutch, or trying to use a crutch to numb the pain, it's just not going to get you anywhere. And there are other things that we could look at. For example, when we think about believers who carry pains, think about, for example, how about Sarah? Sarah, she was barren. Now, I certainly don't know much about the womanly side of things, but I do remember when Nina and I were trying to have a baby, our first pregnancy ended in miscarriage. And I remember how what an impact that was on Nina. We were so young. We were in our early 20s. We had been married for a couple years. And, you know, and that was very impactful. And that whole year between the time that the miscarriage took place till we were pregnant again with Jesse, that was a very tough year, especially for my beautiful wife. That was hard for her. Now, Sarah, she couldn't have children. And in that culture, to not have children, I mean, that wasn't looked upon favorably. So she had suffered a lot, and she wanted to have a child, but she resorted to, you know, kind of making things happen in the flesh. Instead of trusting in the Lord, she used her resources. And she had a hand servant, maid servant, Hagar, and try to make God's promise come to pass by her own efforts. And most of you, you know the story here. I can't get too much into it, but you could look at Genesis chapter 16 and and study it on your own. But the point is that she tried to use her possessions. And sometimes that's what we do to try to numb the pain. You know, let's buy something new, or you find, you know, comfort in purchases or the things that you own, and you're constantly getting new things in order to fill and numb that pain. But it's not really helping you. You know, there's pleasure. People look and turn to pleasure, sexual pleasure, pornography, to try to numb the pain. But that's not going to get you anywhere. And statistically, it's just going to make matters worse for you. Now, here's a positive example of a person of integrity, which was Joseph. But Joseph, you remember, and that his story is in the 39th chapter of Genesis. But Joseph, think of the pain that he carried. At 17 years old, by his own brothers, he was sold into slavery. How many of you have been hurt by your own family? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you do, I know what that's like. I mean, I think all of us know what it's like. Sometimes family can hurt you bad. And Joseph, he had some rascal brothers. They were all jealous of him. So they sold him into slavery. And Joseph didn't have any clue that that day, he didn't know what was going to happen that day. His whole world was changed. His whole life was changed. And so he was carrying pain. And you know that because when he was ended up in prison, he was falsely accused. He didn't do anything wrong. This was some years later. One of the things that he said was that he was taken. He was taken from his homeland. You know, that pained him. And even prior to that, God had was with him. God was blessing him. And he had opportunity because Potiphar's wife, you know, the Bible tells us that Joseph was a good-looking guy. And Potiphar's wife, she had the eyes out for Joseph. And God was with him, and prior to his imprisonment, and this event led to his imprisonment, but he was like very, God blessed him. I think he was like in second in command, or he was high up there ranking, and God was using him. And he had access to everything and authority, except for over Potiphar's wife. And the Bible tells us, and I think it's funny when you read it. I mean, not funny, like, ha-ha, but I could see them making a movie out of this and being very interesting movie, because Potiphar's wife, she thought that Joseph was fine because he looked good in form and everything. And so she would look at him and give him those eyes that she communicated to him that she was interested. And every day she would say, sleep with me, sleep with me. Now, most guys, you know, especially in this day and age, are dirty dogs. You might have to edit that. But anyway, you know, I could see Joseph being in pain. Maybe he felt like, you know, I need the comfort of a woman. I need the comfort. But he was smart. He says, how can I do something so wicked against God? He was a man of integrity, and he didn't run to pleasure to try to numb the pain. He kept himself pure. I think that that's a great example for us. You know, and so there are different things. And then Jesus here. Jesus, he was offered a painkiller, I guess, if you would. But he refused it. He didn't take it. On the contrary, what he did was he embraced the pain. And as I said already, the pain is the tool that God so often uses to bring death to self so that we are more useful in bringing the life of Christ to others. And so I'm just going to end with a simple question. How do you embrace the pain? How do you embrace the pain that you're carrying? Well, I'll tell you, I think the answer is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. You don't have to turn there, verse 43, where Jesus, he prayed intently. He asked, he first prayed, God, take this away. If there's any other way, take it away. But the answer was no. This is the way. You're going to have to carry this. And then the angels came, an angel came and strengthened him. So he prayed, And he intently cried out to God until heaven came down to earth and brought strength. And some of you need to pray intently until you feel God strengthening your spirit. And then once you realize that it's God's will and it's not going to change, you remember Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. He had asked the Lord to take it away, and the Lord said, no, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul, he embraced it. He accepted it and embraced it. And that's the second thing. So first you pray, and then once you realize, hey, this is it. God is going to allow me to go through this. And just embrace it. Don't fight it. Embrace it. Because God's going to use that as a tool to develop you and to use you for His glory and for His honor. And the next thing is, as you embrace it, change your attitude towards it. You know, I know I said I'm going to close, and I am. We're going to get there. We're like seconds away. But if you look to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 7. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, this is Paul speaking, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I prayed, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And verse 9 it says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmity. See, he embraced it. He accepted it. He embraced it. And then he changed his attitude towards it. Therefore, I take pleasure. Or rather, let me back up. It says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that awesome? What an attitude, what a perspective. I like that. That inspires me. And so Christ, he embraced the pain for us. He didn't numb it, he embraced it. The question for us this afternoon is, can we embrace the pain for him? Don't numb the pain. Father, we thank you so much for your love and kindness and for your word. Lord, I pray that your word bears fruit in our hearts, Lord. That as it has been deposited in the soil of our souls, that it would just germinate and bring forth fruit for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I pray for those that are going through it. They're in a real tough situation and they're hurting. I pray that your word would be of great comfort to them. And this would be just exactly what they needed to hear in order to get over the hurt and to start making plans to progress forward, to heal, and to be able to carry whatever you allow them to carry in such a way that it's used for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen those that are in desperate need, strengthen them, minister to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.